This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies and I saved
my happy Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Dancing Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
She is. She's over there chair dancing.
I'm tearing up the room, too.
Waddle is here on the board taking phone calls, 877-881-1053. And me, Sybil Summers, we will be here until 10 o'clock. Feel free to give us a call if you have a question. You can also call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. And if you'd like to follow along with any of the stories we're doing on the air or see any of the great videos that we're going to refer to, like the Super Bowl commercials that are coming up,
yes,
you can go to autoflex.com, like us on Facebook, and find those video clips right there along with the stories that we're going to do.
That's one of my favorite things we do during the year is the car commercials during Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, we've got a couple of really, really good ones. Audi's got a pretty fun one coming on. Chevrolet's got some pretty good commercials coming on, and we'll cover those on the show today. And again, they're on the Autoflex Facebook page. So if you like us, you can go see what those commercials are going to be.
I remember the Audi Darth Vader commercial. That was cool.
Yeah.
Well, this one has to do with Twilight.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, we'll cover it in the show.
Vampires.
It's a vampire.
Right.
Yep.
We also take fan texts at 43733 and... Autoflex has a big, bad pre-owned car sale going on right now.
Again, this weekend, we've been out stocking up, and we have got a tremendous, tremendous volume. Pre-owned cars, 2011s, 2010 pre-owned cars, so still factory warranty left on them. They're great cars, and you can buy them or you could lease them. In fact, I worked on a used car lease for a 2010 Ford King Ranch pickup yesterday.
Nice.
And compared to the cost of the new truck, it was about half what it would have cost. And the truck had 24,000 miles on it, still had some warranty left. It's a great truck.
Wow, sounds like a good deal.
We even took in one of my old clients. They needed more space. They leased a GX470 about a year and a half ago, and it's just not big enough with all the carpooling. You would think that'd be big enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, not with a bunch of kids and all their gear. Anyway, they traded that in, and it has less than 20,000 miles on it. It's like a brand spanking new car. So that one won't last any time.
So you got to give them a call, 817 or 972-234-1234.
And if you see a car online at autoflex.com, call to see if it's there because they literally go so fast.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem we've got is getting these great cars and keeping them long enough for somebody to shop for them and then buy them. You have to act quickly if you want one.
And if you don't see what you want online, call anyway. Again, like that Lexus has not made it to the website yet. That's why I mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
But most likely that car is going to be sold before we can ever even get it there.
Right.
It's going to be because all the sales guys are trying to sell. They're calling their clients who've already asked for a car like that. So get on the list.
That's right. Good deals go fast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about driver's licenses here.
You know, if at first you don't succeed, there was a great story online this week about what it takes to get driver's license in England. And in England, to get a driver's license, you must, first of all, take an hour-long theory test that includes multiple choice questions about the rules of the road as well as hazard perception test, during which the learner drivers have to spot potential road hazards on a driving video. Only after those tests can the learner qualify for a practical on-road driving test. So they make you take a virtual driving test before they let you get behind the wheel.
Wow.
Now, there's a 28-year-old man from Leicester, England, who has failed the theory exam no less than 92 times, which means he spent $4,400 so far trying to get a driver's license, and he still hadn't made it.
28 times and he's taken it 92.
No, he's 28.
No, 92 times.
And he's, wow.
90. Now, do you want to be on the road with that guy?
No.
Okay.
Heck no. Now, I thought I was a bad driver.
There's another guy that's taken it 22 times, and there's a 46-year-old that is currently working on his 21st attempt to pass the theory test.
You know why they're not passing? They're probably on their phone while they're doing it.
They could be.
They must be texting while they're taking their test.
Uh-huh.
Texting and testing.
Which begs the question, and I know we have a lot of fans out there that are listening to us, is it too easy to get a driver's license here?
It sure seems like it.
Yes,
how you don't really even have to ever refresh or an updated test once you get it when you're 16.
No, you're in. Once you're in, you're in.
As long as you can read the eye chart.
No matter how bad a driver you become.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I talked to my grandmother many, many years ago. She told me this story, and my grandmother got her driver's license in the early 1920s. Mm-hmm. Okay. They sold them door to door.
Oh my gosh.
They came door to door, and for $2, if you had $2 and could sign your name and were above, I think, 20 years old at the time, mm-hmm. I believe it was 20. If you had $2 and could sign your name, they would give you a driver's license.
Wow.
And that was your license to drive. I don't know that there was renewal at that point in time. They just sold them $2 door to door.
It probably never expired.
If you have driven down Central Expressway, it seems like there are still people that got their driver's license like that.
I'm telling you. Well, the lady who decided to share my lane the other day, because she was, I'm not kidding you, Sybil, I'm driving along, everything's fine, and all of a sudden there's a car in my window, in my driver's side window, and I'm like, what the? And I nearly hit the curb,
heck,
swerving.
What the heck is what she was?
What
yeah.
the?
Yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Is this with your new?
Fill in the blank.
Is this with your new car?
Yes.
Yes.
So I nearly hit the curb, trying to get away from her. She was I'm an inch from me. I mean, if she hadn't been in a car. And I'm in an SUV, she would have taken off my side mirror. But I was taller than her. And that's when I looked, there she was, texting away.
Oh,
not
that infuriated
even
you.
Looking up. And of course, I honked my horn. I think she was blasting the music too, because she never heard me honk. So then I might have honked a few too many times after that. I was a little bit upset.
You lay on the horn?
But it didn't matter. She just kept on, so I got away from her. But it was one of those, it scared me, the adrenaline and the fear.
Yes.
And, the adrenaline started squirting out.
The armpit thing.
Out your armpit?
No, it didn't. It wasn't quite that close, but it was pretty close. I think I was more mad.
Yeah. I did that unintentionally the other day, and I wasn't texting or anything, but I started getting over into my right lane, and there was a car in my blind spot, and I didn't see him. And I always look over my shoulder because I'm scared to death of running into somebody. And sure enough, I didn't see the car, and I heard somebody honk, and I was like, oh, gosh, and I jerked back into my lane, kind of waved an I'm sorry at her. But
so based on this, I'm all about that blind spot warning system and the lane change, those little
There's so many cars that are coming with that now. In fact, I think we're going to be mandated within a couple of years to have those on all model cars.
Where it beeps at you?
2014, I believe.
I think it'll be easier to get that put on every new car than it would be to get the government to outlaw texting. And all that.
Oh, sure it is.
They can't enforce it.
And I got to drive one in a loner car a couple weeks ago that had that system in it, and it was unbelievable the difference coming from a car that doesn't have it to a car that's with it. It's very helpful. Extremely helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of car was it?
Acura TL.
Okay.
Excellent.
And it was fantastic.
Good.
Yeah. So there
you go. We're going to talk about them in a little bit, about Acura and their lack of marketing ability.
Or
market ability. Yeah.
No, I said Lacura.
They'll love that.
Lacura. Okay. Took me a minute to get that one.
I know.
But I am curious to know if you guys think that it's too easy to get a driver's license. And I'd also love to know, text in, call in. Does anybody else feel like we ought to have to retest, say, every 5 years?
No. I do.
Gosh.
I don't want to. Yeah,
I don't want to go through the
hassle of it and waiting in line at the DMV and all
that's not a bad deal. It's
right.
A 2-hour wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also feel like people ought to have to write in on your behalf based upon what they think about your driving.
Yes.
And you can't slip those guys at 20 and get in the front of the line. I mean, they won't let you. It's funny, they get really angry with you. I don't know how I know that.
And you always wait for 2 hours, and then you get to the front, and you're missing some document that you need. And they didn't tell you that at the beginning.
I've heard a lot of stories about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have to go back and fill out something else and wait in line all over again.
Well, they're not happy with their job, so they decide to torture the rest of us, maybe.
What it is?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Maybe if a person gets a certain score on their first test, they should have to retest later.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to high school with a guy in Texas and it was really easy to get a driver's license when I was a kid.
Clearly.
He took the test four or five times, the driving test, before he passed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think of the poor driving instructor who has to get in the car with somebody who's taken it for the fifth time or the 22nd time, like this news story.
Well, those people live on Xanax.
They have to. Yeah, I don't know if I could do that job. Tammy, you certainly couldn't.
Oh my gosh, no, I couldn't. And, you know, some days I'm very, very patient, but the rest of them I'm just not. Mm-hmm. And I mean just some days.
Right.
But that could be my age.
Our first fan text.
Old and cranky.
I drive a truck locally. Everyone should have to retest. I see nothing but bad drivers all day.
Well,
truck drivers are great drivers, or they don't last long.
Right.
It's one of those things. It's the survival of the fittest almost.
Here's the problem with the retest, and I would be guilty of it too. When you've got the instructor in your car and you know you're taking a test, you are on your toes. You're minding your P's and Q's. You're using your blinker. And sometimes in real life, when you get out there and you get comfortable and you're in your own world listening to the radio,
and you're eating cereal and putting on your makeup.
And playing your trumpet.
And playing your trumpet. Exactly.
You end up getting relaxed and not doing all the laws that you would if you had the guy in the front seat marking down.
You saw the guy playing the trumpet.
No, but I remember the caller told us
that
story.
Oh, that was right.
Story.
The caller told us that story. Yeah.
That was a few years ago, and it still sticks out as the most crazy thing I've ever heard of someone doing while driving.
I saw a guy smoking, holding a cup of coffee, and reading the newspaper all at the same time driving a Plymouth Caravan.
He didn't realize he had left his breakfast table at the house. You're not at home, dude.
What was great was he had the paper laid across the steering wheel.
Lovely.
It held the... what's it for? Right? The steering wheel's to hold the paper.
Oh, well, that's another person almost took me out because they were reading some sort of a book. It looked like some sort of a training manual because it was, you know, a legal size paper. Uh-huh. It wasn't a little paperback. Spread across that steering wheel, going about 18 miles an hour back and forth in the lanes.
Well, I'm so glad he wasn't driving fast. I mean, when you read, you have to drive slower.
So you can concentrate on what you're reading.
Exactly.
Anyway, I was trying to get around him, and here he came. Boy, I barely got past the guy before he realized what he was. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Did you honk at him?
What do you think?
Yes.
I'm all about being vocal. What else is my horn for other than to tell everybody else?
That's a good point.
I mean, that's what it's for. It's to, now I don't lay on it and do the, you know, there's different types of honks, yep. And I don't want to get shot. Let's talk about honk etiquette. A toot is a little reminder that says, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Just toot, toot. Don't get mad at people because they've toot tooted at you.
Right.
You startled them with your driving. Say you're sorry and pay attention.
Or you drifted into their lane without knowing it.
Right. Now, if somebody gives you one of those loud, long, rude honks, you might think about why they're doing it. You might have done something really awful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think they're just trying to be rude to you for grins.
Some of them are. Some people are just road ragers.
They might be, but anyway, a toot toot is enough, usually.
Courtesy honk.
Of course, that other girl, the toot toot didn't work. She was just texting and rocking out.
Mm-hmm. You know, my friend had the paintball method of marking bad drivers. He said you had a paintball and you had three different colors. You had a red, a yellow, and a green. And green was for people that did really polite things, and yellow was for the marginal people, and red was for the idiots.
Why would you shoot anybody
if they were doing just right, though?
Well, just to mark, I said, that's a good driver. And if you saw a car that was drenched in red paint, you need to stay away from it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's good. We should do something like that.
Except it would scare us every time we... Of course, that might teach us.
Yeah, you deserve it.
We got a little zip every time, kind of like a little shock collar.
Okay, so Consumer Reports has come out with their brand survey of the top perceived valued automobiles, and we can talk about that right after the break.
So stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah. Damn this traffic jam.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This traffic jam. Time I get home, my supper will be cold.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil Summers, here for you. 877-881-1053 is the number if you want to give us a call. Also, you can fan text us at 43733, and you can call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 if you're out of the area. And as always, you can go to autoflex.com, reach us that way, maybe get an appraisal on your trade, by clicking on what my trade's worth. You can get a Black Book appraisal right there online on your trade. And you can also see the great pre-owned cars we have to offer right there at AutoFlex.com. Follow the stories we're doing today online.
Mm-hmm. Got a fan text here. We've been talking about whether or not you should have to retest for your driver's license. And someone said, my client does driving tests in Ellis County. She's got the highest fail rating, and you wouldn't believe the near-death stories that she has.
Oh, boy.
They're starting to crack down on the tests, and that's frustrating parents and kids. But they do have to fill out a form to determine if they pass or fail more specifically. And then she said, I'm sure my client would back up Tammy's suggestions.
Yeah. Yes. All right.
Common sense, you mean? It's easy.
Right.
Okay.
Consumer Reports has released their perceived value survey for the year, and the winners this year, the big winners, are Toyota, Ford, and Honda. No big surprise there, except for Ford beat Honda, and that's sort of a surprise because Honda has traditionally had higher perceived value, but Ford has made a lot of really, really good moves in the last 3 years or so that have really vaulted everyone's perception of the vehicle.
And people are probably trying to buy American now, aren't they?
They are. And here's the other thing. Chevrolet was only 2 points behind Honda.
Wow,
so Chevrolet has moved way, way up, followed by Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Volvo, Cadillac, Lexus. And here's the surprise for me, Tesla.
Wow.
What?
I didn't even know Tesla was in the U.S.
They didn't sell 1,000 cars last year. So what? I mean, they're made in California, but I mean, it's a fully electric $100,000 sports car. And I'm not sure how they got on the survey. But anyway, bottom of the list, Saab, Fiat,
shocker,
Mini, and Mitsubishi.
Mini.
So, worst brand perception. Now, folks, you got to realize this is perception. This has nothing to do with reliability studies. This is what people think about cars. And we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about cars and why people pick cars and the number one reason, number two reason that people actually choose a car.
And we'd like to know why you all chose your cars.
Exactly.
You know, what was your reason? Was it price? Was it fuel economy? Was it styling?
Safety features.
Safety. Or was it your perceived ideas about reliability?
The one surprise on here was Mini for me, just like Tammy, because I perceive that car personally as a really good car.
Has it just gone down in sales maybe because gas prices got a little bit more reasonable? So
well,
that
this
kind
is perceived
of
value.
Oh, that was...
This is perceived value, so it has nothing to do with sales.
It's the tininess.
It may be.
Of it.
Yeah. Now, Toyota did drop 16 points from 2010 to 2011. Ford and Honda dropped 21 and 27 points respectively from where they were.
Toyota now, probably dropped a little bit because of that mess that
sure.
they went through.
The difference in Toyota and Ford was 11 points. The difference in Ford and Honda was 3 points, basically. 30 points, basically. So Toyota and Ford were way above the nearest or the third place runner, Honda, followed very closely by Chevrolet, and then again a big gap to Mercedes-Benz, and then another big gap before BMW falls in. So as the rankings go, it's not like they're one, two, three. There's large gaps between those. The other thing that's interesting, and we talked about this a little in the break, Waddle was talking about an Acura that he saw at the Detroit Auto Show, which was called
I believe it's the ILX.
The Acura ILX. And you liked it because?
It's stylish.
There you go. Mm. That's the number one reason people pick cars.
It looks good.
Exterior mm-hmm. styling.
That's the way we pick our partners to begin with.
It is. Ooh, exterior styling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You bet.
I mean, you think of
it. Yeah. Appearance is what initially attracts
to them,
you. Yeah.
If you're not drawn to them initially, then you don't find out what's inside the package.
You're
so
right.
That is
car.
True. Sort mm-hmm. of like, yeah, then you get inside and try the buttons.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes if it looks real, real good, it doesn't matter how crappy it is. It just looks good.
Breaks down on you.
Well, Ferraris, talk about unreliable.
They're terribly unreliable, but they look great.
But they look great. Yeah,
and they run good, mm-hmm. just not for a long time. Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting thing. Fan texture. I bought my car, an 09 Nissan Altima, because I'm 6'8",
wow.
and it was one of two or three cars that I could fit comfortably in the driver's seat.
Well, there you
seat.
Go.
There you go.
He bought it because it
yeah.
fit. Or she. I'm just assuming it was a he. He bought it because it fit.
There's another fan text. I think Tesla also came out with a car that fits 7. I don't think so. Okay.
Really?
No.
Okay,
so the next thing they rated was the perception of safety. Guess who won?
Toyota.
Volvo.
Oh.
That's their whole selling point. And they were 33 points ahead of their nearest rival, which was Ford. Ford was rated second, but again, 33 points behind, followed by Toyota, Honda, Mercedes-Benz, Chevrolet, Subaru, Cadillac, Volkswagen, and GMC. Quality. Number one, pure quality, Toyota, followed by Honda, followed by Ford, followed by Mercedes-Benz. Good gap between Mercedes-Benz and its next next list was Chevrolet. And then on down through the list. And finally, value, and the number one rated car for value was Ford this year. And this is a J.D. Power survey based on perception, not reality of any kind. This is what people think about the cars.
I think that Sony MyTouch and Sync and all that really upped their value in some of their models that they offer it in.
It certainly did. Cool, I think it's a very cool.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Cool gadget was an extra, and that increase the value to some of the techie people.
Well, and I think one of the reasons, like Saab is on the very bottom of the list, and Fiat is second. I think there's probably reasons for those. Mini being third from the bottom, I don't understand. Mitsubishi being fourth from the bottom, and Land Rover being fifth from the bottom, I do understand. Mm. So it's a lot of it has to do with
the Mini is
word.
A niche car.
It
I
is.
Think that's what the deal is.
And a lot of it has to do with word of mouth, what people say about their cars, what people say that, you know, their cars do to mm-hmm. talk to their friends. And, mm-hmm. and that's how people form those perceptions.
Yeah, every car has a stereotype. I mean, Beamers are known for being nice, but having to go to the shop a lot.
I've got a Bose in mind, a Bose stereotype. Bose stereo?
Uh-huh.
Never mind.
Really
bad.
Wah,
wah. All right, I won't do it again.
No, please.
Okay, now here's the other thing that's happening. The share of U.S. buyers that are shying away from imports is increasing. Mm-hmm. And conversely, people that are choosing domestics over imports because they are domestics is increasing. So American buyers are not buying imported cars simply because they're imported for the first time in many, many, many years. Now, when I was a kid, you didn't buy import cars because they were funny looking.
And now when we say import cars, it's not necessarily a car that was imported, but the company is not an American company.
That's
true. The
car
might be built here, but the company is based in another country.
Mm-hmm.
So it still qualifies as an import.
But there's evidently, there is a movement in America to buy American when it comes to automobiles.
I went from an Acura to a Ford.
How I wonder what's contributing to that.
Which is the perception. I mean, everyone wants to support the country.
I wanted to support the country. I mean, I like the Ford, but there are lots of different products out there, but I didn't consider import this year.
Wow.
This time.
If you go back to the 50s and 60s, you didn't buy imports. But the only people that drove imports were a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They were the quirky people.
We did. We had a neighbor down the street that had a Volvo.
Whoa.
And I thought that was the strangest looking thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Chevrolet. We had an Oldsmobile. Folks across the street had a Ford. Everyone drove a car from the big three.
My parents mm-hmm. drove nothing but American cars.
Right. So,
big American cars.
But now, it changed. Coming out of the 70s, going into the 80s, a lot of it being quality-based, the Asian cars discovered robotics before we did.
Mm-hmm.
And they built cars with zero tolerance that didn't wear out, that didn't rattle, that didn't make noise.
Mm-hmm.
The fit and finish was better, and people moved to those. Well, now the movement is going back the other way because the domestic cars, the big three, are building very, very good quality cars. And
thinking about that, going back to when I did sell cars in the 80s, you know, I'm old. Squeaks and rattles. That was a big deal for people. Squeaks and rattles. It wasn't whether the engine was going to last. They just figured the motor would keep on going. But those squeaks and rattles, that was nothing that drove my dad crazier.
Mm-hmm.
He would take a chewing gum wrapper. He chewed that Wrigley Spearmint
mm-hmm.
gum, the green wrapper. And he'd stick that in between the dad. You know, he'd create his own little shims
right.
to stop that squeaks and the squeaks
oh,
and rattles.
I can't tell you how many people I would appraise trades and they'd have little stuff like matchboxes, you know, little match folders stuffed in the dash to keep mm-hmm. or to keep the AC vents from flopping.
Yes, right. I remember
yeah.
that.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so back to it. Okay. The exterior styling still remains the number one reason that people avoided mm-hmm. buying a vehicle. If they don't like the styling of the vehicle, they won't buy it.
U-G-L-Y-U-A.
Yeah.
Other reasons, 2 through 5 in this order. Purchase price, number 2 to avoid. Reliability, number 3. Interior design, number 4. And information from online ratings, number 5 reason to avoid buying a car.
Hmm.
So conversely, those are the reasons that people would buy cars if they had great exterior styling, if the purchase price was good, reliability. By the way, in the shopper turnoffs, interestingly enough, fuel efficiency was not listed.
Huh.
Because gasoline doesn't cost that much right now.
Well, it will be mattering.
Jaguar is still the most avoided brand because of its perceived reliability problems, which is probably not accurate because Jaguar now builds a very reliable car. But still a lot of word on the street, still a lot of people talking about how Jags break all the time.
Takes a while to overcome that. You know, yep. Fiat hasn't quite overcome their issue from the past. It took Audi a long time to overcome their issue that David said was unfounded.
Yeah, there was no, I mean, the Audi 5000, when they had all the bad publicity and 60 Minutes did the story, it killed their sales. And there was nothing wrong with the car. That was the main problem was people had their foot on the accelerator rather than the brake. And that resulted from having a big wide brake pedal.
Enough space.
And it was very close to the accelerator.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we had our big American shoes that we wore in that little foreign car.
Anyway, Acura, Lexus, Infiniti, and Honda were the least avoided because of reliability concerns. So fuel economy, the most influential reason for buying a car, surpassed reliability and the deal and exterior styling, and that's because the people that buy because of fuel economy, that is their main concern.
They don't care what it looks like.
They really don't. They're looking for the economy of the car. Fuel economy was led by the Chevrolet Volt, the Nissan Leaf, and amazingly enough, the Toyota Prius. Not amazingly enough.
That's not amazing.
And Volt buyers wanted the image, by the way. That was their chief concern.
Oh.
Yeah.
I drive electric.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take a quick break here, but stay tuned. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Get your motor running. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard. You should sing out loud instead of just lip syncing, Tammy. Come on, we want
to
hear it.
I'd have to scream the whole time like Steven.
Also, Waddle here, 877.
I'm sure you can sound just like Steppenwolf.
I bet you could.
Right now, with this hoarse voice, I could.
877-881-1053 is the phone number. We're here for you. If you want some free advice, maybe you're thinking of getting a couple different cars, and you need to find out which one is going to suit you best, that's what David and Tammy are here for. So give us a call. You can also fan text us at 43733. And if you are interested in a new car, there's a fantastic pre-owned car sale going on right now at AutoFlex. David, what are the numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Go to AutoFlex.com. You can see all the cars there.
That's right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. Are we doing...
Nissan. Yeah, Nissan's building a $2 billion plant in Mexico.
$2 billion.
It will produce initially 175,000 cars a year to be sold in North America. Nissan is only following the lead of a number of other manufacturers that have moved their manufacturing facilities to Mexico.
Buy Nissan, get a margarita? Is that the deal?
No. I think it has more to do with no unions, so it keeps their labor costs down. Hmm. And the land is cheap, so they can buy a lot of land for a little bit of money. And there's no taxes like there are here.
Oh, the corporate tax situation.
Yeah, the corporate tax. We have a 35% corporate tax in the United States, highest in the world. So if a manufacturer is looking for a place to build something, it costs them more to build it here on their profits. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Nissan is building a plant in Mexico. They're probably going to start off with a Versa down there because they can't produce enough Versas. And interestingly enough, they are right now, or they're about to be, the number one car seller in Mexico. Maybe having to do with all the taxi cabs, because they're all Altimas.
Yeah.
They are.
Or Sentras I've seen a lot of.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, they did have a 15% sales increase in the United States last year, a lot of that having to do with the fact that Toyota and Honda were hurt by the tsunami and by the earthquake, and then the meltdown that affected their supply chain, and then the floods in Thailand that affected their supply chain. So Nissan sort of benefited from that, but a plant that is going to be built there, a $2 billion plant by Nissan, because it just makes economic sense if you're in business.
Sure wish they could have put that here.
Well, it doesn't. Well, and they've got plants in Smyrna, Tennessee, where they build cars. They've got U.S. plants, and they're building cars here. It's just a lot less expensive to not have to deal with the labor and the taxes down there.
When are they going to have it finished?
Here's the kicker. they're trying to have it finished within 23 months from now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quick turnaround.
Very, very quick turnaround.
I'm not saying all the funny things I could say right now.
Come on.
Nope, I would offend most of everybody.
note from a fan, by the way, gas doesn't cost that much now. It's $3.25 a gallon. Hang on to your shirt there, buddy, because it's going up.
It will go up.
Crude was over $110 a barrel yesterday. Yeah. So, and all of the big oil companies are coming out, their spokesmen are coming out talking about $5 a gallon gasoline again. They're trying to get the futures prices up because that drags the price of gasoline up with it. So
they're trying to get our thinking up.
Yeah, they are. Well, it's already done. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back a year and a half ago, gas was $1.50 a gallon. Now we think $3.29 doesn't cost that much.
Buck and a half?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, $1.59 here. A year and a half ago? Yep, it's gone up that much, guys.
I don't remember it being under $2 in the past 10 years.
$1.79, $1.89, sure.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it went back down, and then now it's back up.
Where'd you go on vacation? What'd you bring back?
Yeah, $3.25 a gallon doesn't seem like a lot to us now, so they sort of achieved that. Okay, battery maker InterOne seeks bankruptcy protection. And unfortunately, they were to build batteries for electric cars. Even more unfortunately, they'd received a $118 million U.S. Department of Energy grant.
Excuse me, I have to leave the studio. Don't want to listen to this story. It makes me so mad.
They are following solar panel maker Solyndra, who had a $500 million loan from the government, and energy storage company Beacon Power Corporation after receiving a government grant from them also.
How much money?
Well, for InterOne, they'd gotten $118 million.
Of my money. Your money, people.
Our money. Yeah.
Our money. And now they're filing BK.
Yeah. They're saying it's because of competition from China and the Far East, because they are building batteries and selling them for less than you can build batteries and sell them for here.
So.
And along the same lines, General Motors has consolidated their $3 billion global marketing account with a company from London, which means that buying American maybe doesn't work as good for General Motors. Now, in their defense, this is for their global marketing, so it's marketing all over the world, in India and London and in Europe and Asia and South America. But $3 billion going to Carrot Advertising from London. Enough said on that.
Sounds like a great idea.
Let it all out, Tammy. I see you over there. She's about to pop at the seams.
Well, I'm pretty agitated about the fact that our government has decided that, you know, we all need to go electric and we need to go efficient, and they're just taking our tax dollars and giving them to these companies, and then the companies are going under.
Well, I mean, the fact is, if you can't sell what you're building, you can't stay in business. Or if you're not competitive. And if the government has to prop you up, then you're not competitive.
Mm-hmm.
The $7,500 allowance to buy an electric car is great, but without it, certainly nobody would buy them.
The tax credit.
Yeah, the tax credit. Break. Mm-hmm. So they're building a car that wouldn't stand on its own. So now we are subsidizing the sale of that car with tax dollars.
Is everybody aware that we're doing that?
Sure they are.
Is everybody happy about it?
What do you do, though? I mean,
well,
you can fume about it, but you have to
elect new people.
Yeah,
you have to elect new people.
I thought the president just said that the government shouldn't do more than we can do for ourselves. Well, I can blow that money pretty easy.
That'd be fun,
I mean, I can make
it?
Those bad mistakes and probably come out just a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
And along,
I'd like my $1,000 back, please.
And along in the same vein, California has just passed a new auto emission standard that takes place by 2025, and they're saying that there must be $1.4 million electric and hybrid vehicles on the roads of California by 2025. The plan also mandates a 75% reduction in smog-forming pollutants and a 34% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, which I think is all great. I do.
I think it's great to clean everything up.
It is. The problem is that it's going to make the cars cost a lot more. What the groups in California, some of the research groups are saying, is somewhere around $3,000 more per car. Now, the California legislators that passed this, actually it came from the air regulators, the California Air Resource Board, say it's only going to jack the price of the car up between $1,400 and $1,900. That's still $2,000 more a car. in order to do that. And again, the problem is people aren't willing to pay a lot more to be green. Some people are. The people with money will pay more to be green, mm-hmm. but there's not that many people with money. Mm-hmm. And this means everybody
California.
Needs to. Yep.
Okay, we got to take a quick break, but coming up next, let's talk about the car companies advertising during the Super Bowl. Stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, me, Sybil, here for you. Still have time to get in a phone call if you have a question. 877-881-1053 is the number. And as always, you can fan text us at 43733. And you can even call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. And you can go to autoflex.com and see all the great used cars there.
That's right. Got lots of fan texts here.
Yeah.
People have questions for you guys.
Did you guys watch the Barrett Jackson auto auction last week? Nope. what would be a great car for, as a starter restoration? You know, I think Tammy had the best suggestion on this. It's whatever your passion is.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're not in the classic car business, but the bottom line is if you're going to put that kind of time and money into something, it better be something that you're excited about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I'd love to restore a 65 T-Bird because that was my first car.
Mm-hmm. I had a 67 Mustang, and
yeah.
that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So pick your passion, you know, if it's a Charger or a...
Right.
Or a Duster or a...
Super B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a Lincoln.
65 Judge GTO.
Corvette, whatever. The other thing is, if you're going to do it yourself, great, if you're talented like that. I have received numerous phone calls from people looking for somebody who's a good car restorer. And mm-hmm. that's the other thing. There aren't that many people in the business because it's hard to do. You've got to find the right parts. You've got to be a good body man. And that has to be your passion to work on classic cars and not be in the business of just making money and turn and earn like a body shop would do.
Right.
So...
Okay.
Pick your passion.
Back to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl ads that we're going to talk about this morning, the first one is the Audi S7, and it's sort of the high-performance version of the Audi A7 sedan. It's sort of a coupe-like roof and a cavernous trunk, and it's a cool-looking car. But the thing that the commercial really spotlights are the headlights, because it's got little LED headlights on it.
Oh, neat.
And they produce a bright white light. So I'm not going to get into the commercial. You can go to autoflex.com. Like our Facebook page and click on the commercial there and actually see this commercial on autoflex.com, but it involves the new Audi 7 headlights and vampires.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's the one you said, Twilight.
It's very funny.
That's your hint,
it's
folks.
Very funny.
I want to drive your car.
Also, the Chevy Sonic is going to have a couple of Super Bowl ads, one 60-second and one 30-second. I've seen the kickflip ad where the Sonic actually does a kickflip, and the characters in the ad are animated bugs that are on the grill. They've been stuck on the grill while the Sonic is going through all of its turns and twists and things like that. So there's going to be also, I think Chevrolet's going to have like 7 Super Bowl commercials, which is more than they've had last year, certainly. And they're going to feature the Sonic, the Volt, the Silverado, and of course the Camaro, which is, I think, the coolest looking car that they built in years.
They need something fun like the pig on the zip line. I'm sorry.
That's annoying.
But that,
I
know
agree.
It's annoying, but it makes me giggle.
It does?
Because yes.
Every time it comes on, I think, man, Geico really wasted time with 10 minutes of a pig flying through the air and 3 seconds of... here's our phone number on our website.
It's a brand. I mean, it's their brand thing. The pig sitting in the back seat making all that noise, and then when they get to the house, she turns around and goes, Norman, you're home. Yes, Mrs. McGillicuddy, and he gets out of the car.
I think it's cute. Well, I guess
I do like animal humor.
Whatever they do to get rid of the lizard.
Yeah.
So you're over the lizard. I guess everybody was over the lizard. Now I like the pig.
Mm-hmm.
When pigs fly.
Right.
Okay.
Fantext. Why is there such a price difference between the GMC Sierra Extended and the Chevrolet 1500? I've placed the basic models side by side, and the only difference I see is the trim. Yes.
That's it.
That's the difference. It's right. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why.
Another fantext. The whole electric car thing is a big pipe dream. It will not happen. I personally believe that he's partially right. I think you're going to see a lot of electric cars coming out in the next 3 or 4 years, but I think the hydrogen fuel cell cars will replace them, and that will be the next thing in cars, just because hydrogen is cheaper, it's easier to make, it's cleaner to make, certainly, because they're burning coal to make electricity right now, and it scales better, and that's the key thing. You can build big cars and little cars with hydrogen fuel cells. You can't build big electric cars because the batteries have to be heated and cooled and have to be a lot bigger than they are now to handle a bigger vehicle.
Well, I'm going to do my best to find out how many millions we've given the
hydrogen fuel cell.
Hydrogen fuel cell industry.
Actually, hydrogen is manufactured. The largest manufacturer are petroleum companies. Mm. They use hydrogen to distill gasoline, so they have big hydrogen production systems now. Mm. So it's simply a filling station.
I'm just wondering how many government grants have been handed out.
I don't know. Okay. Interestingly enough, I got this from the Dallas Police Department, and this is really, really good for everybody. They call it their Lock, Take, and Hide program.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are leaving your car, remember to secure it. Never leave valuables in plain sight. Report all specific behavior, anyone messing around your car. Never leave children, animals in an unattended vehicle. And remember, they will steal your CDs. They will steal tools, purses, laptops. I can't tell you how many of my friends have told me about their laptops being stolen.
I would never leave my laptop in the car.
They break the window, grab the laptop, and run.
Briefcases, glasses, stereos, checkbooks, credit cards, Jeep. That's what I'm going to leave in my car, my checkbook and my credit cards.
GPS units, money, change your cash. Mm-hmm. If you leave it out, it's going to get stolen.
And cell phones.
That's the biggie. They steal cell phones. Yeah.
How do you walk off and leave any of those things in your...
Yeah, that does seem odd. Unless you're just running into a convenience store for a quick energy drink or something.
All right, let me tell you about that. A fellow that I work with, wife, went to unnamed convenience store. But you know, the one that starts with a 7, mm-hmm. ends with another number. Anyway, pulled right up in there, and car was locked up, but she left her purse and just took some money in to get whatever and came back, and they did a smash and grab, smashed the window, grabbed her purse, were gone. It's like, well.
I know. It was her fault for leaving it right there in plain sight, but you think, you know, I'm going to be in there for 2 minutes, in and out.
That's how fast they work.
Did they catch them on surveillance cameras?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, my daughter's car was stolen from a mall. They ran in to grab a Christmas gift that had been wrapped and ran back out. They were literally gone less than 5 minutes, and there was an empty space where their car... Well, actually, there was another car sitting there, because there's not an empty space five minutes next to the mall at Christmas. But anyway, yeah, there was a new car there.
And they stole the whole car.
That yeah.
is insane.
And they got it back 5 hours later, 6 hours later. The doors were gone, the hood was gone, the deck lid was gone,
wheels,
the stereo
tires.
Was gone, the navigation was gone, and the wheels and
tires
were gone.
It was an Escalade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, wasn't it their in-laws' car that they were using? Anyway...
I don't even leave, if I have like a bag, just a something that I carry my work stuff in, I don't even leave that in plain view because people might see it and go, ooh, there could be something valuable in there.
Exactly. They don't know what's in there. One of my friends got her convertible top slit open for a gym bag. She goes, they got my dirty undies and cost me, you know, $7,000 convertible top.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Wow. Fantext here. I'm 6'6", looking for a good midsize SUV. Please help. It's from Tall Chris.
Tall Chris. That's
MDX, probably.
I'm sorry for you. Well, maybe an MDX. The Honda Pilot is pretty roomy.
Yeah.
You have to kind of try these vehicles on. The issue is that center console takes away a lot of your legroom.
Well, and the other thing is some people are long from the waist down. Mm-hmm. Some people are long from the waist up. I've got a customer doctor here in town I've worked with for years that's terribly long from the waist up, and some cars don't fit him.
Because
head
of the height.
Hits the ceiling.
His head hits the ceiling because you get a sunroof. They drop it an inch and a half, and now he's got his head in the roof.
I think a Honda Pilot, you know, I have pretty good amount of room in that edge, but I don't think with your legs, when I think about how far I go back, and my knee even hits that steering wheel if you pull it, you know, pull the
right.
whole thing down. So the whole thing is how much space is up under there. And I'll tell you what you could do, Chris, if you called our office, we could get several different models at one place for you to come try on, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really you need to do. And the other thing is, some guys, it's 6'6". If he's 6'6 and weighs 220, it's different than if he's 6'6 and weighs 265.
Right. True.
As to which car is going to really work well. We'll do the Autoflex test drive system and line up three or four different manufacturers or five and let you try them all.
Mm-hmm. And if I had my computer in front of me, I could actually look up the capacity, the dimensions for the driver and tell you a little bit better, but don't have that here at the office. Call the office.
You really got to try the car. It's the only way to do it.
972-234-1234 based on your 214 phone.
Exactly.
Number.
One last story here. President Obama's 300C is on eBay.
His Chrysler?
His old Chrysler. Hemi? 2005 that he sold before he was elected is on eBay. It's owned by a guy named Tim O'Brien, and he's tried to sell the car one time before on eBay, and the bids went up to $100 million.
Pranksters.
Jokesters bidding the car up. Mm-hmm. So now they have a $2,000 good faith deposit that you must place on the car before you can bid on it.
Wow.
He still wants to get $1 million for this thing.
He's got no bids right
now. A 2005 Chrysler Hemi. Oh, our green president. Drove a Hemi.
No.
I just think that's funny.
He traded it before he ran, though.
I still think it's funny.
He was smart. Anyway, he's trying to sell it, so if you're interested in the president's car, go to eBay, look it up. It's a 2005 Chrysler 300C Hemi, and if you want to put a $2,000 deposit up, you can bid on the car.
Right.
And $1 million.
A link to that story and everything else we talked about today, head to autoflex.com, click on that Facebook page, and like us. Also, you can call Autoflex again, the pre-owned car sale going on all weekend long, 817 or 972-234-1234. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Waddle for helping us out today. Chris Arnold's coming up next. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.